One thing I'd ask you to do, if you want to participate, and that is to have a pencil and a piece of paper. And I believe it's for a very good reason. I told you I was going to send you some stuff, but the further I get into this study, the list is growing. What we are trying to accomplish here is comparing scriptural with scriptural. Hang on one second. Let me do something. Yeah, so one of the things I'm trying to, or at least I'm trying to do here in Genesis, is compare spiritual words with spiritual words, or scripture with scripture. And I've noticed as you go through that first chapter of Genesis, there are several words that are repeated on a daily basis. When I say on a daily basis, I mean what has man has called creation in 6 days. So anyway, if you have a pencil and paper in front of you, we'll do a little exercise to give you an idea of why this may be important if you're going to study this subject. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's start open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this time into your hands, and we ask that you open our eyes and understanding to the things that are important, the things that you want us to know and to see. Protect us from human words and opinions, and we pray that your Spirit has free course in our life, in our studies. In all cases, thank you for this group of believers and for the hope that we share and stand for. And these things we thank you in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. So this is lesson number 5 in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Actually, the study is things created and things made, visible and invisible. And it's a comparison of several creations. There's more than one creation. We always think about Genesis 1 as a creation, but there are other creations. And if you follow that thought throughout Scripture, you will see the significance of it in the latter writings of the Apostle Paul, as well as his earlier writings, and the creations that are there that are new creations that are apart from this creation we read of in Genesis 1, because we read later that those things are going to be dissolved, that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And so that certainly has bearing on the things we discuss here. So I'll do a little repeat of some things we did last week and make a correction in one of the statements I think I made in haste, and I need to be very careful when we handle the scripture. I think it's probably the greatest responsibility that I have in my life is handling the scriptures, but more so walking a walk that is balanced, that is on the scales equal to how important the scriptures are. Meaning, if we are handling the scriptures, we need to walk a very holy walk, a walk that is described in Ephesians and Colossians, that's circumspectly and called by many other names, walking in love and so forth. I think that's the biggest responsibility we have when we open our mouth and handle this word. So we kind of covered verses 2 through 5 last week, started it anyway. And so one thing I need to correct is in verse 2, we have three things happening, and they seem to be associated with the earth. And I may have muddied the waters by jumping ahead to verse 7, I believe, when I mentioned something about the waters, and it would have implied that he was referring to this event there. So one thing we need to understand is when we're looking at this, something has happened between verses 1 and 2. The original creation, heavens and earth, were settled in verse 1. We don't know, we read nothing of what happened between these two, but when we get to verse 2, we read that the earth became without form and void, and darkness was a face of the deep, the abyss, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So there are three things here that are associated with the earth. And the earth was already created, and we'll read other verses that we read further in Scripture that refers back to this particular thing, because it's necessary for Israel to understand this creation, this time of creation, and everything associated with it. And there are verses that tell us that this earth was not created in this manner. It was not without form and void. It was not with darkness on the face of the deep. And it was not with, and the waters were not in the condition that we read of here. And we're going to see that the next several verses are going to be a restoration, and I think I used the word correction at one time, which probably is not really accurate, but he definitely does correcting. The next 3 days, the first 3 days, we will see are a correction of something that already existed. And so I have a list of words here in the Hebrew. I won't give you the Hebrew words, but these are words that we are comparing throughout this first chapter. One is the word create, so we want to see which things he actually created. We look at this and say, oh, every day was a day that something was created. Well, I can tell you the first day when he said, light be, there was light that was already in existence. And I can prove that from John chapter 1, the first 5 verses. I can prove it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's several verses there that speak of it. I can prove it in 1 John chapter 1, the few verses. That light existed prior to verse 2. And the issue here is that something caused darkness and it tried to overcome the light. And so we're going to see that if we keep that in mind when we look at that first day that speaks of light coming into being or being spoken, not into existence, but being it's much like a light switch being turned on. If you walk into a dark room, pitch dark room, and you stumble around in there, there is darkness. But if you turn on the light, as long as that light is on, there is no darkness that can overcome it in that room. The light is actually overcoming the darkness. But as soon as you turn that light off, then the darkness appears again. But as long as there is light, the darkness can't do anything about it. And so that's a crude earthly example of light, but this is what we're dealing with here, that this darkness was upon the face of the abyss, it says. And we might take a moment to look at a few verses concerning this abyss. I looked at the Hebrew usage in the Old Testament, and it appears to me, I believe there's 36 or 39 verses that it appears in. It appears to me that every one of them are concerned with an abyss that is associated with waters upon the earth. And I'm going to read the first few occasions of that in the Old Testament, and we'll leave it at that for now. But in Genesis 7:11 and 8:2, we have two times this is used in association with the flood. And so in 7:11 we read, I wrote this down, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great abyss broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. This is associated with the earth. This is associated with the flood. In chapter 8, in verse 2, we read the fountain, this is afterwards, we read, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. So here we see that the abyss is associated with the depths of the seas. And I think these are more literal than figurative, because we're going to see it used in context of evil spiritual beings and whatever that might mean, whether it has to do with the spiritual depths of this earth or whatever, we may have to consider in a figurative sense, but we're not going to look at that today. In Exodus chapter 15 and verses 5 and 8, I believe this is in reference to when they crossed through the Red Sea. Verse 5 reads, this is a song of Moses. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. So here when we think of the depths, that was the Red Sea. It was parted. I don't know what the actual depth was. Was it 40 feet? I don't know. But here we don't think of it as deep as the oceans or whatever. So I think the issue is not so much the physical dimension, but when we think of this, but it is a representation of things that have to do with judgment, things that have to do with how God deals with certain things. And then in verse 8, we also read, "And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea." And so, I don't think it was very deep there, dimensionally, but he uses this in the same sense that he uses other cases. Psalms 104 refers back to creation. And we'll read here. 104 and particularly for some point in our study because it speaks of, it looks back on creation. In verse 6 he says, "Thou covers," let's look at verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed, that coverest it with the deep, the abyss, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away." This goes back to a time concerning judgment. If you go back to the creation and you see that there was judgment there, you will see how the depths are used in association with that. And one more place, Proverbs chapter 8, and we've read, I think some of these verses I repeat almost every time because they apply to our lesson, maybe in a different sense. And in Proverbs chapter 8, which is dealing with wisdom, and beginning in verse, I've got some bad light in here today. In verse 22, we read, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way," speaking of wisdom, "before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths." This is before there was an abyss. So the depths came into being, did they not, in verse 2 of Genesis 1, as a reading before, you know, we speak of before age times, we speak of before the cataboli. Here in Proverbs, we have that very thing, that he goes back before and says, "When there were no depths, no abyss, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set up a compass upon the face of the depth," here we have it in verse 28 also, "when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep." So here he uses that word, and we can see that I personally believe and state that this is a judgment that occurred back here in Genesis 1, between Genesis 1 and 1:2. And so once again, "and the earth became without form and void." So the earth itself, something happened to it. It lost the form and it became empty. And then we have darkness. And I'm emphasizing this because the very first, what we call the first day of what is called the first day of creation. I would not call this the first day of creation. The very first verse tells us what was created. It doesn't mention the amount of time it took. It doesn't go into great detail of what was created other than the heavens and the earth. And here he speaks of something that is an issue with the creation, and we're going to deal with it in the first 3 days that he calls days, and we'll see that in just a moment. And then finally, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So the waters, as we just read over in Proverbs as well as in Psalms 104, had something to do with judgment. And they will have something to do with judgment. And then he gives Noah a covenant that he'll never destroy the earth in that manner again. And so we find that there is another form of judgment that has to do with fire when we get into the further scriptures concerning that. So having said that, let's go back to verse 3, and this is kind of a revisit here. And I want you to note these things. So I started to read these, by the way. So here are the words. Here's the list of words that I have that I believe, and I believe it's going to grow, that we need to put out before us and compare them on the day-by-day basis that is given to us. We have the word create, and I'm just going to tell you that it's used three times. It's in 1:1, 1:21, and 1:27. So whatever the word create means, when we speak of creation, he only uses it three times here. He doesn't use it in the next few verses in chapter here where he says, and God said, light be. And by the way, the word let there is always implied here. And it literally means light be or be light. And what he doesn't say is, and God created the light, because light already existed, and it's not the light that we think of physically. This is the light that we read in the scriptures, and we're going to see in a few moments when we go through this passage, is associated with good and evil, and is associated with the day of the Lord, which is a day in scripture, and it speaks of day and night, and it speaks of good and evil. I'm sorry, and darkness. And I think it gives us the idea of where God is going with this passage here in 3 through 5. So we read that there are things created. We're going to read the things that are made in this first chapter. We're going to read the word saw, S-A-W, which means to see or to, and can mean to show. It's used several times here. We're going to read that God said 11 times. So we want to know what he said, why he said it, and what those words, how powerful those words were. We're going to read the word called. He called certain things, something, and we only read that three times. We're going to read it here in this first group of words. We're going to read that these words are capped off with the phrase the evening and the morning. And we're going to read the word divided five times. So certain days had something to do with a division. And then we're going to read that God saw that something was good. And so let's just read 3 through 5 for a moment. And we'll see some of these words appear. And God said, light be, and there was light. And God saw, there's one of our words, the light, that it was good. There's one of our words. So what happens if there's a day here that doesn't have something that's good? We better stop and think about it, because the scripture tells us to compare spiritual things with spiritual words with spiritual words. And God called, here's the word called, or did I say the word divided? He said it, and God divided. We're going to see several things. The word divided, which means separated. Going to separate some things in this creation effort, or recreation effort. And in verse 5, and God called, he's going to call several things. He's going to name some things. He says he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And so immediately, and let me take you back about, 50 years or more, in my life, 55, whatever, when I was a child, and I heard the story, the so-called story of creation, and witnessed it on a flannel board in a very simple Sunday school lesson, I can tell you the things that we're speaking of here are nowhere close to that. But those impressions that were made in those days very much simplified what we think of creation. And I believe it could be very misleading if we go through life and remember the flannel graph story of the way it's presented, because this is very, God's word is at test here. Are we going to look at it and do and obey what he says when it comes to interpreting scripture? If we are to compare things to, that are different or that are more excellent, if we are to compare words with words, if we're to look at the context, if we're to rightly divide, those are words that we should obey when we look at these scriptures. So here we have a list of these words we're going to compare, and that's why I'm suggested that you might take a pencil and paper and go with and do this little exercise with me just for these 2 days only. And so let's do that right now, because I think when we get into it'll help us understand or at least call some things to our attention that, hey, maybe I didn't look close enough at this. So if you take a piece of paper, and you don't have to do this, but this is up to you, obviously. So we're going to write as a heading. We're going to make two columns. One is verses 3 through 5, and the other is 6 through 8. These are the day 1 and day 2, so-called, in Scripture here. And here's the list that goes down before these two columns. We're going to compare these words. The word said, S-A-I-D, is the first row. The next row is the word saw, and raise your hand if you want me to slow down here, S-A-W. The next row is the word good. The next row is the word divided. The next row is the word called, C-A-L-L-E-D. The next row is the word made. These are not in any specific order. They started off as an order of the way that they appear here, but then it became a little convoluted because they're not used in each day. And then finally, the words evening and morning, and how they represent a particular day. So if you have that list in front of you, let's put a check mark. We're going to put a check mark or an X or whatever. We'll put a check mark for where it uses the word, and we'll put an X where it doesn't. So under the heading of verses 3 to 5, we read, and God said, verse 3, and God said. So I can put a check mark by the word said. And if you look at the next, or if we keep reading, he says, light be, and there was light. And God saw. So now we have saw, the word saw, and we put a check mark under 3 to 5. The word saw. He saw the light, and that it was good. So we can put a check mark by the word good. So I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Let's go down to verse 6. Let's try the check marks. And God said, so here's the word said, put a check mark by that. And when we read these three verses, we don't see that he saw. We're going to put an X by the word saw because it's not there. And we're going to put an X by the word good because it's not there. So what does that mean? Here's a day, the day 2, that he made a firmament, and it better catch our attention because he didn't call it good. We see the rest of the days, if you took this same concept here and put down the rest of the days and put the check marks, you're going to see that it occurs. So right away we have an issue. We're comparing scripture with scripture, and day 2, which has to do with a firmament, we don't see that God saw that it was good. So it should raise a flag. And if you go down the list, I'll just do this without reading, but then we see the next word is the word divided. It occurs in both cases. Check mark, check mark. The word called is used in both cases. Check mark, check mark. The evening and the morning, check mark, check mark. And the word made in 3 to 5 does not occur. And by the way, the word create does not occur in either of these either. And the word, but it does occur in 6 through 8. So he made the firmament in verse 7. So what does that mean? So the first day, God speaks light into being. Something that already existed, he speaks that into being. So let's finish out the first day here. So once again, verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. And I don't, so these are figurative words, because I don't think he literally looked and saw, said, oh, I see the physical light, and this is a good thing. This is the word saw, remember, is this word that could be pronounced or could be translated showed. Is this the showing of a vision? You can take that or not. You know, I'm 99%, I'm not going to say I'm 100% sure that it would be used in that sense. But certainly figuratively, he saw the light, that it was good. So light had already existed. Something had overwhelmed that light. And in judgment, darkness came about. I'm going to turn you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We need to obviously always back up what we say with Scripture, and this doesn't prove anything. But if you look at it, you can understand how God deals with different things in different places in Scripture. So turn to, if I can get there. That's what happens when you very seldom turn to our 2 Thessalonians. So 1 Thessalonians, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5. So Paul writing to the Thessalonians, we read this, but of the times and the seasons, Brent, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now it's kind of interesting that he speaks of the times and the seasons, because we're going to see something concerning the times and the seasons in verse under the fourth day of the so-called 6 days of creation, and it deals with times and seasons, and it also is associated with the firmament. So what I will say is this: the first 3 days, the first day deals with light and darkness not even being able to overcome it. The next day deals with a firmament, which has to do with the heaven. It's not the created heavens in verse 1, but something that he is making on that second day in the heavens, and he's going to call it by a name of heaven. So that's an issue. But what we're going to find out is the fourth day, which also deals with the fourth day is going to deal with lights, and I believe the fifth day deals with the firmament and the creation of I need to put that out on a little table and put it in front of you. But if you look at it, the fourth day completes the first day, the fifth day completes the second day, and the sixth day completes the third day. Just keep that in mind, and I think it starts to become clear. But anyway, I'm getting off track. Verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 5. For yourselves know perfectly that what? Here's the context. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So now we're going to see that he's going to use this idea of the day of the Lord is going to be divided into day and night. So a thief is in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are what? Are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, and the hope of salvation. For God have not appointed us to wrath, which has to do with the day of the Lord, by the way, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And how's that going to happen? How are they going to attain this particular salvation? It's at His coming. That is their hope. So the difference on the, so one issue in night and day is that those who are believers are associated with the light, and their salvation is the coming of the Lord. And those who are not the children of the light, they are going to be in darkness, and they're not going to be part of that resurrection. Whoever these people are, they will not be part of that particular resurrection. So we see how that this word concerning a future time of judgment, we see that it's as a day and a night, and it's also spoken of as darkness and light. So when in verse 4 he says here that God divided, He separated the light from the darkness. Here's one of our words we're going to have to look at several times, because He uses that in these 6 days. And then he goes on to say, verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So here we have a statement that God proclaims something. He is appointing something here. The word called is an English word that we use here, but it means, this word means proclaim or to appoint. And He's doing this for a reason. Remember, these words were written to a nation who was about to receive the law. It's written to people. It may have been passed down through generations, but it was written directly to the first people to read this were a people who were getting ready to go to leave Egypt and go into the wilderness. And they were going to be redeemed, and they were going to have to walk. So here are some terms that are used that He speaks of as day and night. He's not really talking about the first day is the day and the darkness. We're going to see that time is really going to be associated on a future day, although there is a time factor here. So that brings up another issue. When did time start? Because when I read in 1 Timothy, or in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I believe it's verse 10, and when I read in Titus 1:2, he speaks of an eternal life that was established before the times of the ages. So he speaks of something that is associated with time that was promised before time, before the times of the ages. So we need to determine when do ages really begin. Because we also speak of another event, and it's used 10 times, it's used 3 times, I should say, before. It's used 7 times since, and that is the overthrow or the kataboli of the cosmos. So those are two different, those are two different occasions that are brought to our attention concerning the church, which is His body. And I'll say this, I believe most people, when we look at this next day here, which deals with the firmament. I think most of Christianity looks at this firmament as, hey, this is just part of Genesis 1:1. But this firmament that was made is something that's temporary. It's a temporary heaven. It's what He's going to call it. He's going to once again proclaim or appoint a name to the firmament. And guess what? He didn't say that it was good. So He's doing something that's temporary, and it's going to be rolled up as a scroll someday. And I believe that's why He doesn't call it good. We're going to look into that deeper over the next week. Hopefully we can do it in 1 week. We'll deal with that firmament more so. So let's look at verses 6 through 8, and we'll close here in just a moment. And God said, be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So now we have a statement that He's going to put something. And by the way, we need to look at the word firmament. It is also, it means an expanse. And it comes from a word that means to spread out. And we'll look at a couple of occasions where it speaks of gold. It speaks of the tabernacle, and that gold was being beaten out into thin plates. So that's the word that's associated with firmament. So what does that mean? So if we look at the firmament and you think about it, he's dividing waters from waters, and then he's going to call it by the term heaven. Then we see that there is something in the heavens that is what I would possibly call a boundary line. These are my words. There's a boundary. And it's preventing something. It's preventing something that's concerning the Holy Ghost. So when, this is what I started to say, that there are many believers who read these passages and probably don't see the significance of what the firmament has to do with today. And when you read Ephesians, that speaks about far above all heavens. It speaks about a place, the only place that it speaks about a place, this place, in the heavenlies. We begin to see God was doing something back here in Genesis that was extremely important, and he's doing it, I think, in a means of protection, shall we say. He's not allowing anything into the heavenlies without, this means of something that's temporary, but we'll get into that in a greater sense. So we got a few more minutes here. Let's finish this out. He says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters, separate the waters from the waters. And God made, he didn't create, but he made the firmament. And by the way, the waters already existed. They occurred back in Genesis 1. It's just that there was judgment that was associated with the waters. We read of an issue in verse 2. So he puts a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So he called, or he proclaimed, or he appointed the firmament heaven. This is not the heavens of verse 1:1, when he created the heavens and the earth. This is a temporary heaven. So I think that's probably the most important point that we will discuss about this particular day. But next we will pick up and look at this word firmament and confirm that this is a fact that will be rolled up as a scroll and will be done away with. And I believe if we marry that with the book of Revelation and with some of the things Peter had to say, that we will see that something they look forward to. That was something that was prophesied and meant something to those. And then if we look at it from our standpoint, that we are blessed with Christ in heavenly places. And we compare that and we see that temporary thing doesn't have a boundary, at least in the sense of the church, which is his body. There's nothing that prevents us to be enthroned with him right there in that place. So we'll pick that up next week, and I will close the microphone right now. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we ask that you protect your scriptures from human ears, from human words, and we ask that you show us things that you want us to see. And we realize there are things that we probably won't be allowed to see, and we ask that we are reminded to accept that and not create some thoughts that are part of an imagination. We ask that you really, truly open our eyes to your desired understanding of the scriptures. And these things we thank you in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.